All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Back Row Redskins Show here live on the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube. Be sure to subscribe, be sure to like, be sure to comment. I got some awesome guys with me, and this show right here is going to be fire. Coming to the stage, I got my guy, Josh Taylor. Capital Network. He has the Burgundy the Burgundy Network podcast. Man, I just had a blank. Man, this is the guy, honestly, that put me into podcasting, man. He came on my very first episode with Talking Sports with Manny, and we had a
good time. I remember that.
Glad to have you on the show, bro.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it. Like you said, it's been like a year since you and me actually chopped it up.
It's been a year. It was draft. We did that draft episode. Yep. I remember, man. It's been a minute. Next guy I have coming to the stage is my guy, Ryan Trotter from the Weekly Audible, man. This guy is a diehard Washington football fan. This is my guy right here, man. And then I got my guy, Wiz Skins coming to the show, man. This guy right here is a passionate Washington fan, Washington Wizards fan, Washington football team fan, Redskins fan. Glad to have you on the show, brother.
Hey, glad to be here.
Awesome. Last but not least, you got the beast from the Middle East, Kevin Hicks. Just got married not too long ago. Washington fan, all the way from D.C., living in Nashville. So it's pretty awesome how we met. His wife works with us in our company. And when she met him, I said, oh, he's a Redskins fan? I'm all in. That's your husband. So welcome to the show, Kevin. Awesome. So, guys. Free agency is here, man. Free agency is here. We're going to talk about the latest signings. We're going to talk about the stuff that went down the past 2 days. We're going to talk about what's going to happen this season. But I just want to go ahead and kick this thing off with the hottest news of the day. The Washington football team have signed Curtis Samuel. I mean, that's my guy. We all wanted him. You know, we didn't want guys like Juju. We didn't want guys like we had a whole bunch of guys that we could have had, but we didn't want. So I'm going to go around the frames, starting off with Josh. And Josh, I want you to just kind of tell us your reaction. Tell us how you felt about signing Curtis Samuel.
I mean, obviously ecstatic. This is the guy that we kind of knew, we kind of expected, not just because he was a Panther before, but it's all about scheme. You talk about like Juju. I've been saying it all along. He is not a good fit here. Curtis Samuel is exactly what you're looking for. And now you have an offense where you have Curtis Samuel who plays a lot in the slot, but also ran the ball a lot with Carolina last year. He had like, 40, 41 rushes last year, which is a lot for a wide receiver. You know, you talk about our offense is pre-stat motions, moving the ball around, spreading the field out. Then you have McKissick who had second most catches by running back last year. Then you have Gibson who's the ultimate weapon who played primarily wide receiver at Memphis and then took over that running back role. So you have three guys who are going to be in and out of the backfield, possibly line up in the slot, and just spread the offense out. It's going to be – it's terrible for defenses around the league because they're not going to know who's getting the ball and how they're going to get it.
Right, man. I'm excited. So, Ryan, man, tell me your reaction of Curtis Samuel on the football team.
Dude, I'm still speechless, man. This was probably – I mean, just for myself speaking, probably almost every Washington fan around the area. We knew this was happening probably since the start of week one happened. We knew this guy was coming in. He was going to be a free agent. You already knew Ron. Already knew Scott Turner. Knows the system already. And then to add on top of that, the dude was best friends and roommates with Terry McLaurin at Ohio State. Sign me up, dude. Like, I'm just excited to see now what he can actually do in this system that we have or we're going to be running. You got Ryan Fitzpatrick now, who I know we're going to touch on a little bit earlier, who just slings it. So, obviously, Terry's going to enjoy that. And then now we just get to totally see what Scott can do with these weapons. All they talked about last year with, you know, bringing in Gibson. And I know for myself speaking, when we drafted him in the third round, I was like, Antonio Gibson, he wasn't even on my board for third round. And the first thing that they talked about was he's a weapon. He's going to be the weapon in our offense. So right off the state there, when they say that, you think, okay, so we're looking for speed. We're looking for weapons. We just picked up probably the biggest weapon on the market. So I'm excited.
Absolutely. And coming to the show, coming to the stage. I got my guy Wale. I got my Nigerian brother, man. It's been a long time coming. We were supposed to have connected a long time ago. So we bring some Nigerian flavor to this show. This is my guy from the urban sports scene. Welcome to the show, my brother.
Oh, thank you, man. I feel like I could talk about some jollof rice and all that good jazz. You know what
I mean? You already know, man. So right now, man, we talking Curtis Samuel, man. Give me your reaction when you heard the news.
You know what? I'm a Michigan fan. I'm getting all these Ohio State folks on the team. It's crazy. I think it's a good fit if he's a slot wide receiver. I like the price on the money. You bring a speed to the team, another explosive player. Hopefully, you know, you can use him. You got Samuels, you got Scary Terry, both individuals running about a 4.3, 4.4. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you can utilize Antonio Gibson in the pass game too. That's another guy who's, you know, ran like a 4.39 while in Memphis. So you can use him in the passing game. I think there's a lot of weapons and explosive plays that can be had on the field. Cause like my man said, you know, we heard all this about Scott Turner. He needed weapons. Now he has weapons. He has guys with speed. You know what I mean? Speed kills. So hopefully they can utilize that with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who allows a wide receiver to make plays because he's all about playing street football. And then on the other side, I think they still need a little bit of help on the outside. So alongside of Scary Terry, because to me, again, Sam's is more of an explosive individual in the slot. You got to get a guy outside who can win on one-on-ones or whatnot. So hopefully not done. And if not, maybe some of the young guys can improve and take the reins in camp and be that number two guy in terms of the outside.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Kevin, what was your reaction, man?
Man, it was beautiful. I actually called that one. Early in the offseason, everyone was talking about Allen Robinson and Kenny Golladay and so forth, and that we needed to get one of those super alpha dogs to be the number two opposite Scary Terry. And I thought all along, with our cap situation, it looks like we have a lot, but there are some very specific holes that we needed to fill. So I think Josh nailed it perfectly from a scheme standpoint, Wale as well. From a scheme standpoint, he gives us so much versatility and flexibility. He can play in the slot. He's played inside and outside in his career. He's run the ball out the backfield. You have that versatility with Gibson as well, who's also played the slot and in the backfield. You've got McKissick coming out the backfield, right? So you've got flexible positional options, and that gives you flexibility. And so wide receiver goes from a place of weakness to where if we spend a pick somewhere in the first three rounds, doesn't even necessarily have to be a first rounder, but a pick somewhere in those first three rounds, all of a sudden you have a very, very strong young group there with Terry, with Samuels, with fill in the blank. We'll get to that a little bit later. Wide receiver there. And then you've got others like Harmon and AGG coming back, Cam Sims. It becomes actually a pretty impressive young group of talent.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Whiskins.
Hey. Yeah, man, I couldn't believe it, honestly. I was kind of shocked. I know everyone wanted him. He was someone that, you know, the fans were really itching to get. So when we landed him, it was a little bit unreal. You know, it's been a while since we've actually landed a guy that we all really wanted, and we just got him, you know. Right. And it feels good. It definitely makes you feel like there's a change and things is going on in Redskins or Washington Park.
So, I'll say this as well. I think one of the key components was the price that we got him for. That's what I was really excited about.
That's like the story of like all of free agency so far. Like
absolutely. Even
with William Jackson too, like every contract we've signed so far has been like Mayhew is like doing everything perfect right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think they're hitting home runs left and right. I mean, that's clear wide receiver two money at this point.
Yeah.
And so you're not overpaying for what you're getting. You know, I heard rumors coming out of Detroit that Golladay turned down an $18 to $19 million offer from Detroit.
That's crazy.
You're not going above that, right?
You know, yeah.
That's half the cap. So if you can, you know, spend half of that, get a quality receiver, and then that gives you more flexibility for, you know, linebacker and some of these other positions that we still need to fill.
Right.
Yeah.
And I believe that this move right here is so big. It's so big. Mm-hmm. Like you guys have said, you can move Curtis Samuels all around, right?
Mm-hmm.
The speed. He can play inside. He can play outside. I like him better in the slot, but it really doesn't matter with the kind of offense that we run anyways. We saw Terry McLaurin moved all around last year. So with the quarterback that we just brought in, which I'm about to get into right now, perfect segue, when we signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Fitzmagic, I was excited because out of everybody that was available, although I would have wanted a guy like Minshew in a trade, we get to save our draft picks. We get to find more gems like Holcomb's in the fifth, and you know, find the Cam Carls in the seventh. And every draft pick that we have has shown to be valuable. So we get to add, and then you bring in all these different depth guys, and some of these guys might be starters at a cost controlled, you know, thing. To me, it was just awesome. So once we got the quarterback, then I'm like, you know what? We can go out here and get the weapons. And now we can kind of see why we did what we did at quarterback. What was your reaction, Josh, with Ryan Fitzpatrick?
You know, I knew he was always a possibility. To me, it was – and I talked about this when we talked with Lake Lewis – was you go from an offense where you have Alex Smith, where literally your job is to just not even just win the game, just don't lose the game.
Right.
Just be safe, make some plays when needed, but don't turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. And that was my biggest thing against us getting Jameis Winston. Like, you're going against everything you've preached the last year and a half on this offense. And Fitzpatrick obviously has that too. But like you said, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, he has that ability to stretch the field, make the offense exciting. And the biggest thing is we haven't seen a majority of Scott Turner's offense, to be honest with you. Absolutely. If you really look at what he's done in Carolina, we're missing a tight end, which is pretty big for his offense. And then we're missing those outside weapons, that slot receiver. Steven Sims, we've maxed him out, to be honest with you. He's done. I think we can all agree on that.
Trash.
But Fitzpatrick gives you that option to open up the field, take risks downfield, like we saw with Taylor Heineke and, you know, against Tampa Bay and against Carolina, showed a little bit of flash of that. And that's what we were saying, like, after the game, like, wow, we haven't seen our offense look anything like that. That's what a lot of people really liked about Taylor Heineke. But Ryan Fitzpatrick just brings that vet leadership and kind of opens the door to some other things. And I have a hot take that I think a lot of people disagree with of how we're not going to draft a quarterback because of that. But I'll let y'all go.
Hey, but you know what, though? I totally agree with not drafting a quarterback. I think we should go after our quarterback next year. I mean, it just makes sense.
I agree.
Because if you're not drafting one of the top four quarterbacks, it's kind of like, I know you like Mac Jones. Mac Jones is a guy that I feel like he needs weapons all around him. You know what I'm saying? I know. Mac Jones, you love your Mac Jones.
Yes.
I think he's a good quarterback, but I just don't know how he fits with this system. You know, the quarterback for the team doesn't have to be mobile.
Yeah. But he's more of a Kyle Shanahan guy, to be honest with you, or New Orleans, Drew Brees-esque kind of guy.
Exactly.
But like I said, my thing is, like, you have Kyle Allen, who spent a fifth on, you got one game out of him. You have Taylor Heineke, who you just paid not good money, but actual backup money.
Right.
Why are you going to draft a guy in the third, fourth, fifth and send one of those guys to the practice squad? You're not going to waste a fifth on a guy that's going to sit in the practice squad with Allen. Taylor Heineke got this new deal and you're going to send him to the practice squad. Like, to me, it just doesn't make sense. And I know people saying, well, like, now you draft a guy and he's going to learn from Fitzpatrick. Allen and Heineke aren't that old. I know they've been in the league for a few years now, but Ron and company are comfortable in those guys and they have confidence in those guys. And maybe they're the guys that learn from Fitzpatrick and not a guy that we draft this year. So.
I think, honestly,
that's the reason why they went with Fitzpatrick, because, you know, if we had gone one of those other routes with Mariota or with Sam Darnold or, God forbid, Mr. Trubisky, you know, there'd be this pressure to say at the end of this year, are we going to extend this guy? Are we going to give him a big contract at the end of the year? So you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place because you have a guy with draft pedigree that their draft pedigree somewhat dictates that they need to get a bigger contract. I think with Fitzpatrick, it was clear that he's a transitional quarterback. He's someone that can give you the leadership, the moxie that you need to get through this year. You know, the biggest complaint that I had about our offense last year is it was painfully boring. Alex Smith, love him as a guy.
Yep.
Painfully
boring. Check on Alex.
And I'll tell you this, if anything, Fitzpatrick, whether good or bad, it's not going to be boring.
It's not going to be boring.
The one thing I think that is underrated about Fitz is just how good of a leader he is. Fitz magic doesn't only belong on the field. It's also in the locker room. Mm-hmm. It's with the coaches. It's with the young guys. Yeah. It's with the veterans. He's the type of quarterback that can really rally the troops. I mean, I'm ready to run through a wall for Fitzpatrick right now, and I don't even have pads on.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine.
He has that moxie, that
swagger that you look for to want to follow.
And to your point, you know, I stated this before. It's like you already know what kind of player Fitz is to his teammates. You already know because you got some egotistical dudes he played with, and they love him to death. Right. You had Chad Johnson, Deshaun Jackson, Terrell Owens. All of these dudes love him, and they will throw a quarterback under the bus in a second, and all they do is say positive things about this dude. That lets you know already. But regardless of what fans think or whatever, especially a wide receiver is going to show you that much love, and you're the quarterback, that means, one, you giving them their money. That means that they getting the ball, and they're playing well with you. And secondly, they're going to talk about you that highly. They love you as a player and as a teammate. That's, to me, told me enough I need to know about Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, it's the confidence. It's not just an unbuttoned shirt and sunglasses.
Exactly.
This dude knows what he's doing. He's confident in everything he does. Bad or good, if he throws an interception, it's going to be a good one.
I guess there's got to be one devil's advocate to the group then, and I think that's me. So three of you guys I know follow me on Twitter. And when this signing first came out, to be honest with you, I wasn't a fan of it. It really felt to me like this was Case Keenum 2.0 over again, that we were kind of just reaching for a vet. I'm tired of I've been a diehard Washington fan. I'm from Maryland. I'm literally grew up 20 minutes outside of DC. I'm Washington blood through and through. I'm tired of getting retread quarterbacks on my team and not growing with a quarterback. I'm sick and tired of it. We had to go ever since I was a fan, I had to go through Ramsey, Brunell, Jason Campbell, John Beck, RG3, Kirk Cousins, and the list continues, whatever. I'm just not a big fan of going this retread route, but to everyone's argument, I 1,000% understand why. I'm not reaching for a Trubisky. I'm not reaching for a Mariota. Again, I hated the fans that wanted Mariota because the dude had one good game with the Raiders, and then all of a sudden we should be trading for him.
Trust me, here in Tennessee, he had a few bad years here.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. Keep in mind, if this dude were to get traded or cut from Las Vegas, that would have been now his third team in 5 years. That should be saying something. But I'm starting to come around to Fitzpatrick. I'm not going to sit here and say I love it. I don't think it's the sexy pick. However, I'm not going to sit here and say I hate it. He has the history and the resume to prove what he can do. He's a gunslinger, and that's something we want. I'm tired of watching every pass be 10 yards or less when we had to see it from Dwayne Haskins or from Alex Smith. And keep in mind, to your point, Josh, I know you said now that Scott Turner can finally open up the playbook, that's because we'll finally have a quarterback that knows more than five plays. So that's also a good thing. But again, Wizkins, I'm on your back too. If I'm ready to run for a wall for Fitzpatrick, Rivera's my guy. So if he wants Fitzpatrick, that's my guy. And I'm ready to, whether he's going to be the gunslinging Ryan Fitzpatrick or he's going to be the four interception a game Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't care. I'm going to be here for him.
I feel you.
Let me add something if I can. As just a devil's advocacy to your devil's advocacy. the concept of him being a retread, it's hard to argue that he's a retread. He's 38. He's been on 9 different teams. So, clearly he is a retread. But I don't think that he is Case Keenum. There's a moxie that he has displayed throughout his career that is something that Case Keenum has really never done, even in his best year, which got him his most recent contract. It was good by his standards, but he wasn't single-handedly winning games. He was
no, 100% agree with you. I think they're two different quarterbacks. I was looking at it from the Case Keenum
feel.
I was looking at it from the Case Keenum point of view because when we signed Case Keenum, that was because we did not sign Kirk Cousins to a long-term deal.
Yeah,
so we had to rush to get a veteran quarterback. So now I'm kind of feeling Rivera doesn't know what the hell he wants to do with quarterback. So, let's just go get Ryan Fitzpatrick. It'll be his 19th. He knows what he's doing.
Right. Well, here's what I would say. I recently watched an NFL Films. They do excellent work. I was looking at the NFL Films breakdown of – do you guys remember that late season game last year between Miami and Oakland where Josh Jacobs slid down at the one-yard line for some reason, which really ticked me off, by the way, because I had him in my fantasy playoff game.
Well tied.
Oh, I was so annoyed with him. Anyway.
Wasn't that the game where Fitzpatrick got, grabbed by the face mask and threw –
that's exactly right. The very next – so they settle for the field goal. The very next drive – less than a minute to go, starting from inside the 10-yard line, Miami comes out there and Fitzpatrick just throws this ball on a dime to the sideline. I believe it's Ryan Hollins makes the catch, and he, I mean, literally has his face mask getting yanked the opposite way and literally put that pass perfectly where it was supposed to go. You added the face mask penalty to that, so in one play, they're in field goal range. That's a play that there's nobody on our roster that makes. No. There's no one on that roster that makes that pass, and what's really special about that is when you watch the breakdown of why he made that pass and the looks that he gave. Basically, there was an outside post coming from the right side. So he said he kept his eyes there because he wanted to pull the safety there. He knows that, I believe it was Rod Marinelli, he's the defensive coordinator. Pardon me if I'm wrong there. But he said that he likes to run a cover two shell in these big situations. And he knew that. So he knew that he was going to have that safety on the left side there. So he looked him over that way, and the other one was an out route to the sideline. So he held him there just enough to pull him that way, knowing that he was going to go there. And they show it in real time, and it's really fascinating. It gives you such an appreciation for the intelligence that he has and the detail that he puts into understanding how to play the quarterback position and how to manipulate defenses. It's probably one of the more fascinating videos I've seen in a while. It's only about 5 minutes, but well worth a look if you want to get a real appreciation for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, when I think of Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, people always say he's a gunslinger, which he is. People say he makes a lot of mistakes, right? But one thing I can appreciate about Ryan Fitzpatrick is that when he was in Buffalo and when he was with the Jets, that Jets team had Eric Decker, and it also had Brandon Marshall. They went 10-6. I don't think they made the playoffs because it was so tough in the AFC, but that team rallied with this guy. Eric Decker was a guy we thought he was done. Ryan Fitzpatrick was able to revive Decker's career in the later part of his career. Brandon Marshall, we thought Brandon Marshall was done. He was like on his, what, fourth or 15. You know, like Wale said, he's played with some perennial Pro Bowlers, some Hall of Fame type guys, and everybody will say, you know what, Ryan Fitzpatrick is that dude. I remember a couple years ago when DeSean Jackson was in Tampa Bay. I said this on the last podcast. The minute they made that change from Fitzpatrick to Winston, it was just not the same. You know, and that's kind of the reason why me and Joseph had conversations, and he's asking me what receivers would I want on a team. You know, if we didn't get Curtis Samuel, I would have loved to have a T.Y. Hilton or a Will Fuller. Because then when you have that guy that can sprint down, and I mean, Terry can do it. We've seen it, you know, versus the Eagles. Terry can go deep, but people always say Terry's not a he doesn't go deep. And I'm like, the guy runs 4.3.
He go deep. No, he go deep.
People forget to realize he ran a 4.3.5.
Yeah, he go deep. You just don't get his ball. They don't hit deep. Exactly. They don't hit him. He go deep. And he get open too. He open. They just don't hit him.
We didn't have a quarterback that could accurately throw it over 20 yards.
Oh, I agree.
I'll say this. You really don't even have to go back 2 years to the Tampa Bay year. You can really just look at last year in Miami. They went 10-6. And that was a team that several times throughout the year, they called on Fitzpatrick in the middle of the game to bail Tua out, and they won those games. You know, so
say it to Josh, you know, a little louder.
It's
Josh.
Easy to argue that.
That happens, man.
Yeah, it's easy to argue that if they, you know, stay with Fitzpatrick the whole year and just let Tua learn the whole year, they may win 11 games instead of 10, and they may have been a playoff team last year. And, you know, you can't really argue that the Miami receiving core is more talented than Washington's at this point.
I mean, they have nothing.
It's not what all they have is a tight end. All they have is a Gesicki, and it's crazy.
Gesicki, like Devontae Parker, that's it.
And Parker, and see, the funny thing about Parker, so this is the thing, the funny thing about Parker, until Fitzy really got there, Parker was like, eh.
He didn't do anything.
Exactly. That's why I feel like Fitzy will make certain wide receivers on this team that look like they weren't doing anything look a little better. Like, you know, the rookie AGG. I feel like if he gets the opportunity, he'll throw him a pass where he can make a play. I actually feel like I feel bad for Josh Dotson. He got cut a little too early. If you had Chris Patrick,
Paul Richardson too.
Yeah, I'm serious. Quarterback like Fitzy. A quarterback like Fitzy
Harmon, because
he got drafted too early.
Yeah, exactly.
Kelvin Harmon is going to be the guy to look out for, dude. He's going to be the biggest impact with Fitzpatrick on the field.
I think so. I believe that he definitely, if he's healthy enough, I think he'll get the opportunity. I think he'll have a good chance to put up numbers with Fitzy. I believe it.
I think Nate Coleman has faith in Kelvin Harmon only because, you know, he was a 4.6 guy before the injury.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't a speed demon.
He's a contested ball guy. You know, really,
more so. He was your move to the Titans kind of guy.
He might be better off bulking up and going to tight end. I honestly think a lot of these receivers could end up being cut by the time the season comes.
I think so, too, to a certain extent. It's possible. I think it's definitely possible that some of these receivers can get cut. I think Harmon –
Steven Sims is one of them.
I think that's a given. I think that's a given.
That might happen at midnight.
Yeah, tonight.
Now, I got a question for Josh. I know Josh scouted Harmon tough. I remember when we were doing our little drafting and we got into receivers, we really got to dig into these receivers last year. And I know Josh was telling me some good things about Harmon. Now, I've seen Harmon running routes right now, and it doesn't look good. You know, the knee brace is there. He was already slower on the slower side. He is a contested catch guy, and those are guys that thrive with Fitzpatrick. Those guys that go for the 50-50 balls and those guys that go deep. He's going to get you the ball. Talk to me about what Harmon would bring to this offense if he's healthy.
Well, I don't think you move him to tight end. And people were saying that with AGG too. Like, you're taking out too much. You're taking too much of the skill set away, moving him to tight end. And with Harmon, the big thing is body control, catch radius, his frame, his size, and just how physical he is. Like I said, he's not going to beat you off the line, but he doesn't need that separation off the line because he's going to beat you with the ball in the air. He's going to go up and get it somewhere that you can't get it. And the same can be said with AGG. He's just a little bit faster than Harmon. I'm not sure what his 40 time was. I can't remember. Yeah. But he has better strides. He's a better route runner than Harmon. But to me, Harmon's just so physical.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that one game against the Packers when he had like the one-handed catch? I mean, he's made some spectacular catches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's just what he does. Like I said, the biggest thing is his frame, his catch radius. And like you said, Fitzpatrick, he's going to put it where only you can get it. And that's what Harmon's going to feed off of all day long.
Yeah. And guys, did you remember in the playoff game when we actually had a quarterback that can play in Taylor Heinicke? Okay. I watched every game last year. Well, the games that I wanted to watch. And when Taylor Heinicke came in, he made guys like Sims Jr. look good.
Cam Sims.
But I'm talking about
he still can't catch.
Same guy, possession, physical guy, same exact guy.
The dime to Steven Sims in the end zone, bro. Like, when you have a valid quarterback, you can make any receiver look good. Like, the dime to Steven Sims you were just talking about in the end zone. Like, when you actually – like, Dwayne Haskins would have threw that in the third row. Like, if when you have a valid quarterback, that's what happens.
And something Nate Coleman's been saying, we have a group chat, name a quarterback that has elevated his guys like we've talked about, like Fitzpatrick has ever he's went. Especially, like I said, with the Dolphins, they have nobody. I can't stress that enough. They have the worst receiving core possibly in the NFL. Like I said, they have Gesicki, and like that's it. Parker, he's done nothing. People have been calling him a bust since he's came into the league, and now he's somewhat relevant because of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, that's is what you want, and that's what we saw from Heinicke, and I think we see that even more with Fitzpatrick.
Exactly. He's going to make guys like Terry look good. He's going to make guys like ADG. If ADG
– I can make Terry look good. We talk.
Hey, I know. Terry, that's not hard, man. Terry makes quarterbacks look good, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Terry makes quarterbacks look good. No, he gets that open. Like, his route runner's elite.
What I'm saying with Terry is people are actually going to get to know who he is.
Yeah, even
everybody
more.
Everybody in the league knows that the guy is good. The top corners in the league say, yo, this boy right here could play.
But he should average – yeah. He should average 100 yards, like, receiving with Fitzpatrick. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
He should.
10 touchdowns.
Ryan, what you were saying, like, how you're sick of, like, not getting franchise quarterbacks and stuff like that. Dude, I'm so with you. One thing we have to think about is how much did Haskins turning into a complete circus not work out for us? How much does that really set you back? You go all in and take a guy at 15. How many teams have just – come right back next year, draft another guy in like the top 10 picks and just hold the games out.
No, I get it, dude. But yeah, I'm looking at it from that standpoint is, yeah, we took a hit on Haskins at 15 and swung and missed. But let's take a rewind real quick. 7 years ago, we traded 4 first round picks for RG3 in 2012. Did the same thing. He had a great rookie year, probably the best year ever to be a Washington fan. And then boom, injuries just killed him and now he sucks. It's the same thing.
How long did that set us back? Like, say we do that again this year, trade 3 first round picks. Doesn't work out again. We're right back to how Ron says, mortgaging the future. Now you're looking at – now you have The D-line needs to get paid. Terry needs to get paid. You have all these guys. You wasted that window of opportunity. When we just made the playoffs and Fitzpatrick can get us to the playoffs again, possibly win an actual game in playoffs.
100%, dude. I agree with you. That's the thing that I want to take from that. Like, even though I wasn't a fan of it personally, I can still look at the other side and say, all right, look, I got to look at it from a standpoint of we got him on a one-year deal, and he was less than a $6 million cap hit to make us go out and sign people like Will Jackson and go out and sign people like Curtis Samuel. We're probably not even done yet. We could probably still go out and get some more depth pieces right now.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's Trey Boston, Raekwon McMillan.
And that's because we made a move. That's literally because we made a move like this. Like, if we did not make this move and we went out and tried to go out and trade our capital away for Sam Darnold or Marcus Mariota, we wouldn't be able to do that.
That's exactly right. I think that part of the appeal of Fitzpatrick isn't just what he is, it's what he isn't. And that is, he's not someone who costs a lot of money, and he's not someone who costs any draft capital. I think with every other option that's on the table, it kind of puts you at risk for having to spend a whole lot of money this year or next year for someone who might not really be that good. I mean, do you really get excited if they had traded for Darnold or Mariota or Trubisky or anyone that was available this year? I think in a vacuum, Fitzpatrick is not exciting in a vacuum, no. But given the options, I think that it was far wiser to do this than to not do it, and then you feel pressured to. Personally, I like Mac Jones more than the rest of you guys, except for
not Josh.
Except for
Josh. Michael McCorkle. I like Jones, thank you very much.
More than the rest McCorkle. Of them, not quite as much as Josh, but like I wouldn't be brokenhearted if they took him. But I like him more than I like Haskins.
So I've actually come around to Mac Jones, and Josh and I talk about Alabama players all the time offline, but. I'm not a big Alabama fan already, but that doesn't mean I have to hate the players when they come to the NFL. No. I was just not a big Mac Jones fan because when you watch Mac Jones in college, he looks like he's a great quarterback, and he's going to give you all the skill set to be a great NFL quarterback. But then you look at who he's playing with in Alabama, and every single person on that offense is an NFL caliber player.
It's just too hard. It's too hard to say rate
the quarterback play elevates Waddle and Devontae Smith.
Oh, no, because those dudes do it.
You can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
I think it's the same.
Because those dudes always do it. No, because the Alabama receivers always do it. They do it every year. The bench players are NFL players already. No, you can't do that.
All right. I got a question for everybody. We're going to go around the frame. Josh, who's better, Tua or Mac Jones?
It's an easy question.
They're so different, but I got to say Mac Jones. I like his pocket presence. I like what Tua can do with his feet, which we haven't seen much of yet. But I just like what Mac Jones does. I think he has a stronger arm, which doesn't really say much because people say Mac Jones has a weak arm, but I don't think he does. But honestly, I think Mac Jones, if I had to pick between the two right now, I'd go Mac.
Okay. The easiest answer in the world, it's Mac Jones. I also just hate Tua, but hear me out. So on our podcast and at the Weekly Audible, we spend a lot of time doing draft coverage, and we do a lot of things analyzing draft picks. Mm-hmm. When we did a segment on who our draft crushers were and who we thought the big boss was going to be, I literally said Tua, and it wasn't because of my personal bias. I just personally thought he was not going to come back from this injury, and I just was not a fan of him coming out of Alabama. And I literally told both my co-hosts, I was like, look, he's going to go to Miami, and they don't have the best skill set of people. The man's going to throw it 10 yards or less every single play. And lo and behold, that's what he does. I'm not going to say he's going to do that his whole career because he showed flashes of very good moments. I just think on that shitty Miami team, he's just not going to do anything. However, they are going to – these two first-round picks they have, I think they're going to go two offense. I think they're going to get Chase and Harris, and I think that's going to help them immensely. So maybe that'll help them out. That'll be great. But back to your question of Mac versus Tua. I'm with Josh, man. I think he's just a better NFL quarterback. He's got a better arm. He's way better in the pocket. Like, his feet, granted, he's slow, but his footwork in the pocket is just so, so nice to watch. And I've already done a couple mock drafts already just for my own personal being because that's just what I do for my podcast. I think he's going to go 15 to New England. I think that's the best spot for him.
I think
Belichick's going to have his next Tom Brady, and it's going to be Mac Jones. They're going to have Cam play out this 1 year, and then it's the Mac Jones show from here on out. It's going to be the Bledsoe to Brady. Now it's going to be the Newton to Mac Jones.
Alabama beats Auburn again. Let's go.
I guess I'm gonna be the eyeball. I'm a Tua guy. I like Tua. I've always loved Tua. I like his moxie. I like his game. The way he plays in college, how he is ready to play, his toughness. I feel like he's a player's player. So I've always loved Tua's toughness. I think like in Miami, in that situation, I just felt like it would be better for him to sit a year under Fitzpatrick. I thought what they were doing was unfair to him. Fitzpatrick was balling, and then you go into the rookie. I know, I get it. He's the future, so you want to give him playing time. But when somebody's rolling like that, now the players are going to look at you a certain way if you don't produce like Fitzy did. So I just felt like it was a tough situation for him. But I think that, to me, certain games that I watched for Tua, I saw progression. In Miami, I thought I liked the way at first he was staying on one read, but then you could see how he surveyed the field. He would get off one read quick, go to the second option, third option. So I saw improvement from Tua going through the season. I think he's going to be a dynamite player. I really do.
All right, Kevin.
It's a little closer to me than some people, as not such a no-brainer, but I go Mac Jones too. Now, granted, I was a Tua guy last year. Like, I was preaching the virtues of Tua coming into the draft. I would not have been upset if, you know, something had happened and we'd ended up with Tua, right? I was a big Tua guy all throughout his college career. But when we're talking the NFL here, I think coming in on day one, Mac Jones is more pro ready. The things that Mac Jones does well are the things that translate really well to the NFL. I think that Mac Jones has, he gets a knock for not having the strongest arm or for being surrounded by all these talented players at Alabama. I don't see why that's really a knock on him, because when you look at his film, it's not like he's throwing bad passes and the receivers are bailing him out. He is hitting them on dimes. Yeah. He is hitting, no matter what the pass, short, deep, whatever. Like, he's got two of the fastest receivers in the country. There was never a throw I saw that they had to slow down to catch a pass from him. Jalen Waddle is catching it in stride. Devontae Smith is catching it in stride. He's smart. He reads. He moves his eyes really quickly. Honestly, there's another quarterback in the NFL that people say it was too small and didn't have all those measurables, but he did this stuff really well, and that's Drew Brees. So, you can't really knock him
for
having the strongest arm. Yeah, I'm sure no one's going to complain if they get a Drew Brees career out of this guy. So, yeah,
give me an all-time leading passer any day.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. He was like a, 4.8 something, or graduated in 3 years. I mean, yeah, he got his master's in a few years or something like that. I mean, crazy, crazy smart guy. You see his football intelligence. Honestly, like I said, I wouldn't even be mad if we landed Mac Jones at 19. I don't think he's our biggest need, because I do like the idea of waiting till next year when the crop might be a little bit better. But we're not going to get the top three guys, probably not going to get the top four guys. So at that point, I think that's why Fitz makes sense this year, because we have to set the expectation that all the quarterbacks that we're going to want are going to be gone. And we have to be mentally prepared for that. So we have to have a guy on the roster that we feel comfortable with riding out throughout the year. If we happen to land a guy like Mac Jones at 19, and we can let him sit a year, that's best case scenario. Because guess what? We won the division last year, and it, by all indications, looks like the team is going to be better this year than it was last year. Stronger receiving core, better quarterback, better defense. So we anticipate picking even later in the draft next year. So we can't really expect to just draft the next great quarterback next year either. So that's why I would say, if Mac Jones happens to be available at 19, he's not my number one position that I think we need to take, but if he's on the board, I strongly consider it.
It's right. Tempting.
And Wiz Skins, let me get your thoughts, but I'm going to tie all this together. There's a reason why I asked this question. Wiz Skins, who do you got between Mac Jones and Tua?
I hate to be the guy to bash on Jones, but, I don't think either of those quarterbacks are good, honestly. To be honest with you, I am one of those guys who the big school guys, and to me it's more than big school, I think it's powerhouse teams. If you look at USC back in the day and their quarterback history, if you look at Miami back in the day when they had better talent on the field. If you look at all the Ohio State teams, if you look at majority of the LSU teams, of course, Joe Burrow is the exception. And I think he's going to be a great NFL player. And if you come into Alabama and look at all of it, I think the skill set is there. I mean, to play college football, you do have to have a certain basic degree of college, basic quarterback skills. But I do think it's more of a mental thing that separates guys from college to the NFL. When you're on the Bengals or the Jets, or you're on a team and your players aren't the best, your receivers aren't better than the corners, your linemen aren't better than the D linemen, the linebackers can cover your tight ends and running backs, and the safeties are moving faster than you thought, and everyone's looking at you like, hey, give me the ball, man. What are you doing? It's a different battle. It's a different game. And if anyone can overcome it, but you have to know that yourself, that entering into the NFL, this is going to be a different type of ball game for me. And I just have not seen quarterbacks make that leap mentally. The skill set for a quarterback, I mean, it's going to be there. There's a couple quarterbacks you could put behind that Alabama line, and they're going to be great. And am I wrong? I could be, but it turns out every year it kind of happens. So I don't know. To me, I would have to say I would give it to Tua, because I really don't think either of these guys will translate well into the league. I know Mac Jones gets the Brady comparison because he's odd body and slow, but I don't think I don't think Tom Brady is just as a comparison, you know.
No.
I think Drew Brees
is spot on.
Yeah,
Brees is the ceiling.
Different. I mean, yeah. Even Brees, and that's a big thing to say he's Brees. I mean, Brees.
No,
I mean, if you look
Brees.
At,
no, know, he's not Brees. That's
the same criticism that Brees got.
Right,
I'm
right.
Man, Brees was a dog at Purdue. He played at Purdue. Like, Brees played at Purdue. Like, Brees, as a Michigan fan, like, Brees was money in Purdue. Like, I think he was a second-round pick, and I know they tried to – because of height, he was a second-round pick. But Brees was a dog in the Big Ten. Like, and he didn't have talent around him. To my man's point, he didn't have that much talent on the outside. He was going against Michigan, Ohio State, and he was putting up numbers.
And so, when you're a quarterback in college and you don't have that talent around, you could look at a couple different – all the best quarterbacks in the NFL. If you kind of – Aaron Rodgers with the Cal, with Brady, you know, he was at Michigan. Michigan was okay at the time. Manny was at with Tennessee, you know, Ole Miss for Eli. I mean, Ben with the Ohio – Miami of Ohio, I think.
Yeah.
Just, so Reverend, you know,
NC State.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. So, you know, and those quarterbacks in college, if you look at those guys' situation, they really had to do it. Mm-hmm. They couldn't rely on anyone else. They had to be the guy. And if you're looking for a quarterback to come be your guy, I want a guy who's been the guy.
Bingo. So you guys have pretty much made my point. The reason why I asked you guys this question is everybody wants a franchise quarterback. I want a franchise quarterback. How you going to get one? You got to draft one. Sometimes you got to be so bad to be able to be within that top five, top seven window. Some teams have quarterbacks, some teams don't. But in order to get a franchise quarterback, you have to literally draft one. You can go ahead and look at all the franchise quarterbacks in the league right now. How many of those guys were drafted? Pretty much all of them, right? It might be one or two, like a Tannehill who has now transitioned to a low tier franchise quarterback. But I mean, Tannehills, they just don't show up at your door and say, hey, I'm your franchise quarterback. So I get it. We all want a franchise quarterback. You know what I'm saying? We all want a guy that we can at least have for at least 5 years. Even if they're not a franchise quarterback, like young, when you have a guy like Stafford, who we did try to trade for, we was trying to trade 19 and a pick next year, they just didn't want that offer. So as much as fans want that franchise quarterback, it's a process. You know, when the time is right, you can trade up. But when you do that, you have to make sure that you know that you know that you know that that's your guy. You can't trade up for RG3. And, you know, we've seen what happened with the injuries, but it's hard. It's hard. I put up a question today. I'm like, everybody wants a franchise quarterback. You know what I'm saying? The Bears made an excellent offer. I heard that you know, Mac was in the deal, 3 first-round picks.
Saying,
rounder, all for Russell Wilson at the age of what, 33, 34?
Mac was in the deal? Mac was in the deal?
Are you sure? I didn't see two unnamed starters.
I don't blame him.
I saw.
I don't blame him.
But you know, at the end of the day, they said two starters, but you would figure that it was somebody nice. Either way it goes, for Seattle to not let Russell Wilson go, it just goes to show you how hard it is to find a franchise quarterback. And if there's really, let's say in the league right now, how many elite quarterbacks do you see? 10, 7?
Not even five, if that.
So what you're telling me is if there's five elite quarterbacks and there's 32 teams, right? That means there's some pretty good quarterbacks in the league and there's some okay quarterbacks and teams can get to certain points with certain quarterbacks. So it just goes to show you, you know, it's just hard to get that franchise quarterback. I think next year is the year that we go all in, you know. And
with Seattle, if you trade with Chicago, you're still not getting one of those top four guys. You're still without your quarterback. Then you have to trade all those picks that you just got for us to trade up in the draft. Right. But with us, if you think about next year's draft, you have what? Ritter, Howell, Spencer Slovis. Rattler.
Yeah, ooh, I love Rattler.
But the thing is, we're bad enough to get those guys, though. That's the problem.
But you're not going to see four quarterbacks taken in the first seven picks next year. I can promise you. Sam Howell is not going to be a number two over. Yeah, Desmond Ritter
will be the lottery pick, and he's the dude who I wanted this year, but then he stayed for the senior year.
Same. Maybe Rattler, if he pops off, like, because he was five-star recruit. I mean, everyone knew about this kid. Possibly. Yeah. But you can see a guy like Howell at, like, 10, 11, 12, where you're trading up.
He's going to go between 10, 15. Slovis, I think, will be a reach, and somebody will pick him in the top 10.
Yeah, I'm not a Slovis fan. But what I'm saying is you'll see it more spread out. You're not going to see Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Lance. That's not going to happen next season. So I can see why we go with Fitzpatrick for a year. And even if we win the division and still pick at 19, 20 next year, there's still a possibility you're getting a first-round quarterback that's just not worth a top-five pick.
Exactly. Is there any chance that Taylor Heineke shows the coaches enough this year for them to have confidence to move forward with him as the guy?
I so hope so.
I mean, you're gonna at least find out. You're not gonna just let that stone not be unturned. You're gonna at least find out.
He'll get number two reps.
Yeah.
So coaches will look at him a lot more. I mean, as the fourth string, you didn't really get that much time and eyes on you. He'll get number two reps. If anything does happen to Fitz, he'll be the next guy to come in. So it's a good chance we'll still see some Taylor Heineke this year. Yeah. And I guess I just wonder if there's a chance that he shows enough, even on the field or at practice, where they have enough confidence moving forward with him as the young guy.
Hey, with him is durability. Every game he started in, I think he's been hurt.
He's been hurt more than he's played.
Exactly.
Yeah, three games. He's played well and gotten hurt in all three. Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, when he was a dog in college, man, you're talking about a situation where a guy is the guy. He was the guy. He played like he was the guy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing.
You didn't see a guy who was used to five-star guys.
Agreed.
Being from Virginia, you beat Virginia Tech, and you're putting up big numbers from a small school ODU. People were talking about Taylor Heineke big time in college.
He was the man there, dude.
So I want to revisit this right here. My guy, Nate, he put up this post. He's pretty much saying, how many day two, day three quarterbacks turn into franchise quarterbacks the last 2 days? That's the point I want to make. It's not a lot. You got Dak. You got
I can name two off the top of my head. Dak and Russell Wilson.
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk is borderline. He's borderline. But he's still, I mean.
You mean recently?
He's still a top 15 quarterback. Either way
he said last 2 decades. Kirk Cousins got drafted in the 4th round.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying, like, you know, Dak, Russell, Kirk. And that's, like, it's not so long ago. You know what I'm saying? So everybody's saying, oh, get you a Kyle Trask or get you this guy and this guy to groom.
No.
So what like Josh has said right now, we're not going to let any of the quarterbacks that we have go or whatever. I mean, I can see a possibility getting one of these guys super, super late and practice squatting them, but, you know, I don't know what the rules are this year.
If we ever make a reach for a quarterback, if we're ever reaching for a dude in day two, day three, if it's not Kellen Mond, then don't draft one.
All the other late round
who's been following
me know I'm a huge Kellen Mond fan.
Kellen Mond, dude. I love Kellen Mond. The only other day two quarterback in this draft that I would pull a reach on is Davis Mills from Stanford. That dude's a dog. Everyone else in day two, day three, no, don't even touch.
All right. So, guys, we're going to transition to defense. I know we spent a lot of time on the offense. So, we signed William Jackson III, man. This guy is a dog. Like, when we signed him, you know, most people would go and, like, you know, they'll talk before they do their own research. So I've never watched him play. So I went to the stats, first of all, right? And I saw three career interceptions. First thing that came to my mind was he might be a lockdown corner, right? Then I went to the highlights, and I'm like, oh, man, this guy can cover. Then I go ahead and look at the measurables and what he can do, and I'm like, this guy can cover. I'm like, this guy might be better than Kendall Fuller, but I want to get you guys' opinion. From what I see in his background and his first, you know, first-round pedigree and things like that, personally, I think he's better than a Fuller. Fuller's a nice playmaker that's versatile, that can move anywhere. But this guy right here is – he loves to play man. He's physical. He has speed. He has size. And he's the kind of corner that we've been looking for. Everybody cried that we lost Ronald Darby. Oh, we lost Ronald. Last year, nobody wanted Ronald. When we signed Darby, everybody was saying, is it the same burnt toast Ronald Darby from the Eagles? So I'm going to start with Wizkins. Tell me your thoughts on William Jackson III and what you was feeling when we signed him.
Kind of similar to you. I knew of him, but didn't know of him. So I had to kind of, you know, do my research too a little bit and really look into this guy. And kind of like you, you know, once I seen the measurables and seen the stats and really did my homework watching film on him, I watched him, you know, play Terry. I watched our game again and his one-on-ones against Terry and just all the routes. And he did a really good job. And I've seen Terry route some guys up. So I was pretty impressed. And if you can cover Terry, that says a lot to me. And Terry did beat him one time. But, yeah, I just can't imagine. And also, once I've seen that he played with such a terrible pass defense, I think the Bengals ranked last in sacks and last in pressure.
Dead last, yep.
Yeah, that's going to be completely different for him here, I can tell you that. Exactly. And with that amount of time, you know, the quarterbacks won't have long. You know, they're going to have to get rid of that ball. And I can only see his talent and game elevating. And I think he's entering his prime.
Awesome. Awesome. Let me go to Wale.
No, I agree with both. I'm with both of you all. I didn't really know of him. I had to do my research. I saw the speed. I was like, okay, we're working with some. I'm definitely like, he's a guy that, you know, could be an improvement from Darby. To me, Darby was the best cornerback on the team last year.
I agree.
But I think he could be an improvement from Darby. And to my man Wizkins' point, I do believe that because of this defensive line, it's going to make his life a lot easier. Like, so he won't have to be in coverage. I mean, the clock is already going to be ticking to a point where he knows that this pass rush is going to get pressure. He can jump routes. There's so much things he can do with that speed to be a playmaker. So I think it's a winning situation for the Washington football team.
Ryan?
Yeah, man. So you guys know already, I'm big into college. I love everything about the analysis base when it comes to the draft. William Jackson, University of Houston, I loved him. Dude, he was exactly what I wanted coming out of the draft. He was that stellar dude. I think he's 6'1", 6'2". He's just a straight man corner guy. Like, and watching him last year, that's what he gives you. Like, you can look at, you know, box score warriors that just look at stats from the box score. He has three career interceptions. You don't watch games. Like, the dude straps up the number one receiver on every team. Kenny Galladay, that news will probably break tomorrow when he signs with the Giants for a year. He's going to probably sign a one-year deal. They played the Lions last year. He held Kenny Galladay to three catches for 20 yards. Like, and Kenny Galladay's 6'5". Like, he's way bigger. Like, William Jackson likes to cover the stud. And another thing that we forget to realize, too, guys, was we had Kendall Fuller before, and Kendall Fuller was never the cornerback one for Washington. He was a nickel corner. He was a nickel corner for us. He played in the slot, and the best season he had for us, he had five interceptions before he left as the slot corner. So, like, he's better as the cornerback, too, or as that slot guy. But I think he's going to be on the outside this year now that we don't have Darby, and I'm pretty sure we don't have Moreau at the moment. It'll probably be him on the outside, Jimmy Moreland in the slot, which I'm totally fine with. But I think that also takes a lot of pressure off Fuller from instead of being that what we call, quote-unquote, cornerback one. I think Jackson's going to take over that spot, and I totally think he should.
All right, let me hear from Josh and then Kevin.
I mean, to me, he's definitely cornerback one, and the fact that we paid quarterback two money for him is like that made me ecstatic. He only hit the cap by $6 million this year, which allowed us to sign a guy like Curtis Samuel and make some other picks. But like when I want a corner, I want a physical press corner who is just going to dog you at the line, take you off of your game, and that's exactly what he does. throws wide receivers off. Exactly. He's going to hit you in the hands. You know, wide receivers try to do little spin moves and chops. And he's like, no. That little kid stuff isn't going to play with him. It's to me, the one stat that really stood out, I saw Next Gen Stats said, William Jackson has allowed the lowest completion percentage of 49.4% and second lowest average target of separation, which is 2.2 yards. And if you watch like film, 2 yards on a wide receiver like T.Y. Hilton, or you're talking about like Galladay and stuff like that, that to me, those numbers stands out. That's better than Rashad Breeland, Stephon Gilmore, Denzel Ward, and Xavier Howard.
Good stuff.
He's not going to have the interceptions. That's what Fuller's going to do because he plays right off of you. He jumps routes more. Exactly. But I want a press corner who's going to dog you at the line, clamp you down, and just suck the will out of you. You can't do nothing against that. He's not going to get the picks because you're not even going to get a chance to even catch the ball. Mm. Like, that's what Fuller's going to do. He's going to get the interceptions because he plays off the wide receivers. He's not going to clamp you down like Jackson, but I'm all for it. Like, and then you talk about our pass rush. I mean, come on now. Like you said, the quarterback's got 2 seconds to get rid of the ball. You're not even off the line in 2 seconds when you have Jackson jamming you on your release. That's not fair.
He'll get the picks this year.
Oh, yeah. He's going to get
100%.
Yeah.
I agree.
He'll get picks this year.
All right,
he's going to pick Daniel Jones off 6 times.
Yes, sir. Hopefully we can finally beat him. I was actually aware of William Jackson. I knew him well. In fact, after day one of free agency, I sent a text to my sports group. And I may have forwarded it to you, Manny. I'm not sure. But I definitely sent it to the guys and said, all right, so we didn't get any of those first guys in the first wave of free agency. I think our smartest way of going would be getting either Curtis Samuel or Will Fuller, then signing William Jackson. I set this out after we lost Darby. I said sign William Jackson and Gerald Everett. And then I'd like it if we added someone like Eric Wilson from the Vikings a little bit later. So if we end up landing those guys, just know that I said it before it happened, okay? So far we got two down, right? So far two down. But just in short, I mean, you guys hit the nail right on the head. He's physical, which is something that you need because – again, Fuller is most comfortable in the slot. He did an admirable job on the outside. Moreland likes to play off and jump the pass, right? I mean, he's such a ball hawk. He likes to jump the pass. You need at least one guy out there that's really physical, and that's him. He locks his man down. When you look at a bunch of the PFF metrics, you know, he's a high-end wide receiver one pretty much across the board. He plays more man than zone, and Washington as a team didn't play that much man last year, but I think it's because of the personnel. They didn't have the personnel to do that. Now, when you have these you know, dogs running, rushing the passer, and you've also got guys who can shut their man down, maybe even a higher likelihood to play a little bit more man this year. So, love it.
You can change the scheme up, and you can disguise man as zone, and vice versa. Absolutely. Zone looks like man, and then you have Cam Curl going back in the secondary. Like, it's just. It opens up the defense so much.
You can play a slot, and you can also have, you also can have Fuller flexing his corner slot. Yeah.
Kendall play a lot of free safety, too. So.
Yeah. Yep.
A lot of versatility again.
Yeah. Defense is going to be amazing. Like, I can't wait, man. I don't know what more I'm so excited about, the offense that we never had or the defense that just got better. So
I can't wait to see Zaven Collins in the middle, man.
Yeah, need a linebacker. We'll see a linebacker before until we talk about getting better. We need that linebacker. Yeah. We need the linebacker situation taken care of.
Need the middle ASAP. Linebacker, man.
ASAP.
And free safety. Needs his Keekly.
Yeah. Free safety. I mean, we get that linebacker and that free safety. We are a top three defense in the league. And that's what we can hope for, because if the defense can, you know, control the game, hopefully we got some kind of running game going, because you need a running game with a defense. You just can't, you know, shut people down and just throw the ball, you know, three and out or whatever, and then the other team gets the ball back again. So it's going to be a perfect balance of offense. And
defense. Are you guys just all out on Bryce Love like I am?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, until
he shows me anything.
Yeah,
I think one thing that will help our running game this year is Fitzpatrick and Samuels, the added speed and weapons and explosiveness that we threaten people with now. I don't think, you know, you can't stack the box against it. We're not going to dink and dunk.
You can be stupid if you want to.
Yeah, if we're going to take the top off.
Yeah.
I think
he's going to kill you on the outside.
Yeah. I love those formations we ran last season when you had Gibson and McKissick both in the backfield at the same time. I loved that.
I loved it.
Y'all, Stevenson's touchdown against the Patriots.
If Alex Smith was in the game, you knew it was going to McKissick. I remember there was this one game he was targeted like 11 times in the first half. I was like, how is that possible?
Yeah, I think that was over every week.
Yeah, every time.
I honestly haven't thought about the McKissick and Fitzpatrick magic enough. That's going to be a deadly little combination, too.
Yeah. Do y'all remember how Steve had that touchdown against the Patriots, the running touchdown? Yeah. That's what what you're getting out of Curtis Samuel time 10. Like,
yeah,
way better wide receiver. Yeah,
real talk. So, guys, we're going to go around the frames one more time. I want to know your offensive, your offense MVP and your defense MVP this year, and also let the people know where they can find you. I'm going to start with Josh.
Oh, man. Offensive MVP. I mean, honestly, like, it might be too soon, but honestly, Curtis Samuel, just because of how much you're really going to get in the run game and the passing game, like, he can do both. I think who benefits the most from it is Terry McLaurin, especially if we do get another wide receiver on the outside. But if you're talking, like, MVP, like, numbers, it's got to be Curtis Samuel because, like I said, he had, like, 40 rushes last year in Carolina alone. So, I mean, like, basketball, it's like, you know, Westbrook, you're gonna get the triple doubles, you're gonna get spread across. So I would go Samuel on defense. Ah, man, that's tough. I mean, Chase Young, he's gonna step up second season and have that sophomore lift. But the whole defense is gonna eat. I don't think there's gonna be one guy that stands out. I think just the whole unit as a whole is gonna just wreak havoc. And y'all can find me on Twitter. As you see my name there, at Josh Taylor, WFT. Same with Instagram, Josh Taylor. I don't really post much on Instagram, but mostly Twitter.
Let them know about your two podcasts. I mean, your podcast and your network, man. You're doing some great things.
So the Burgundy Network podcast with me and Brian Murphy. Kicking off the Capital Network. That's a lot of work in progress. But slowly but surely, by the time the season starts, that's going to be up and running. Got a lot of awesome things cooking. And like I said, follow us at Berg Network Pod.
Awesome. Ryan?
Yeah, man. So to add to you, Josh, man, he's got a great network. Both his podcasts are absolutely great. So anybody out there listening or watching or whatever, if you haven't tuned in already, it's absolutely great. You took the easy answers, man. So I feel like I got to go a little outside the box.
That's what I do. I play it safe.
So I feel like offensive MVP, I think the easy answer is Terry McLaurin, just because of Ryan Fitzpatrick being there. He's going to feed him the rock so many times a game. We haven't given him any love yet. I'm just going to go out here and say it. Like, the MVP is going to be Logan Thomas, bro. I'll say it. I don't care. I love Logan Thomas, and Scott Turner's made it very clear since he got hired. He loves getting tight ends involved in the offense. Ryan Fitzpatrick's number one best friend is a tight end. If you don't believe that, watch him last year with Mike Gesicki. That's what he does. He throws the tight ends. I think if Logan Thomas can do what he did with Alex Smith and what he did with Dwayne Haskins, I think he can double what he did with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I'm just going to go out. Antonio Gibson also, you got to throw his name out there too. Defensive side of the ball, love me some Chase. Love me Montez Sweat. They're obviously going to eat on the interior, on the outside of that defensive line there. I love Cameron Curl. He's one of my podcast favorites. Like, everybody on my show loves Cameron Curl. You got to give love to the interiors though, man. Jonathan Allen's my MVP. I think he's going to be the, you know, they gave him that fifth option. This is going to be his last year before the free agency. I think they're about to throw him a shit ton of money after seeing what Leonard Williams just got a couple days ago. So I got to go defensive MVP has got to be my guy, Jonathan Allen. Awesome. To find me, you can see me on Twitter. It's Trotter331. So I have my own sports podcast with two other co-hosts. We are the Weekly Audible. If you haven't heard of us, we are very, very small podcast. We started over quarantine, and ever since quarantine, we've risen to be a very, very big podcast. Now we actually had Jonathan Allen on in quarantine. You can actually expect to hear Jonathan Allen on our podcast again in a couple weeks. So if you want to tune in, it's at the Weekly Audible.
Awesome. I told Josh to give me an MVP. He says, you get one. Everybody gets an MVP.
Oprah.
Wale.
Okay, so my MVP will be on offense, will be Scary Terry. I think that obviously getting Fitzpatrick there, he's gonna have a phenomenal season, in my opinion. Defense MVP, I love this dude since they drafted him. Montez Sweat. I think Montez Sweat will just keep the teams get better. He's a 4-3 defense end. He's doing his thing. I mean, I don't think he gets enough credit, to be honest with you. To me, he's a lights out player. In terms of my handle, you can catch me on Twitter at Wole_USS.
And also, you can catch another Twitter handle for me is at Urban Sports Team, which is our Urban Sports Team podcast. We cover all of the DMV sports teams, the Washington football team, the Washington Wizards, Washington Nationals, sometimes the Capitals, when I get a guest or two to talk Capitals, because I can't really carry that conversation. So
I got you, man. Hit me up. I got you.
Okay, it's cool. Cause I used to play NHL on EA Sports. I used to be really good at it, so I knew all the names. I had no Ally Frady and all these other dudes, and then I kind of lost touch. So yeah.
All right, Kevin.
All right. Well, the curse of going after such smart people is you guys took all the good answers and all the good obvious ones here. So offense, again, I'd have to say Terry as well. Obviously, the Fitzpatrick effect. But we talked earlier about how he's elevated the wide receiver ones. Wherever he's gone, he's made sure those wide receiver ones are happy. You saw what he did last year with Devontae Parker. The year before, you know, both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, they both ate, you know, I mean, they were both top five receivers in the NFL with him. So, you know, I feel like especially having a little bit of help now with Samuel and possibly another receiver, it really gives Terry an opportunity to get more one-on-one coverage. So that's going to be a great opportunity for him. Defensively, like you guys said, Chase is a monster. He proved that he's worth the pick. And with that being said, he might get more attention. So it opens up more opportunities for Montez Sweat to flash what he really is. I think either one of those on any given week could be the most dominant person. And I think those are the obvious answers. So I'm going to throw a curveball. And I'm going to say my dream scenario, and it's all hypothetical, pick number 19. We get a linebacker. Let's get Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, and he becomes the MVP because there's so much attention paid to the defensive line. He shoots those gaps and just eats. That's my dream.
I'm a Zaven Collins stan, but I appreciate the linebacker love.
Yeah, you said linebacker, so have me confused because he's not much of a linebacker.
He's a Landon Collins, but anyway,
yeah, he's a sub package box safety. He's just way too good at coverage.
He's what he is.
He is.
Team Zaven Collins.
Let me hear from Wiz Skins.
All right, man. Offensively, you know, I'm going to really have to go with Antonio Gibson. I really do think the explosiveness from our team is really going to benefit him because we're going to be in the red zone a lot more. He was already a high touchdown volume guy with the offense we had last year, even and missing a couple games. So I just think a full season of him and a more explosive offense, I think he can break the touchdown record next year. So I'm going to be bold and slightly bold and predict that. On the flip side, I also think our explosive offense will help our defense. I think if we can put up enough points where teams have to throw the ball more and we can put some leads up on guys, I will say Chase Young will have a defensive player of the year type season. And with the added more opportunities to get sacks, they'll rack up. And he's already a fan favorite. I think the media is going to get behind it if we really start getting some games going. I could see him being defensive player of the year. You can follow me at Wizkins on Twitter or IG. I like to talk sports, all Washington sports, and big MMA guy too. I do have a real page. I'll make sure I follow you guys also.
It's my guy. So, guys, I think the offensive MVP, I was going to say Antonio Gibson, but since Wizkins took him, I got to say the quarterback. And whether it's Fitzmagic, whether he keeps the job the whole year or whether whoever that comes in, I'm going to say the quarterback, but I'm going to say Fitzmagic. I think he's going to give the offense what it needs, that juice. His numbers might not be amazing. I mean, I see him anywhere between 3,000 yards to about 3,400, somewhere between there, 20 to 25 touchdowns. He's going to throw the picks. So I'm going to give him about 12 to 13 picks. He will throw picks. He will throw picks. But I think he's going to give that offense what it needs to be fluid, you know, whether because last year, man, you just kind of knew the plays. It was McKissick and Logan Thomas. I mean, that was it. That was the offense and Terry's triple team. But this year, you're going to see a lot of movement and a lot of points from that offense. So I gave it to Fitzmagic. And then on defense, I'm going to give it to a guy that nobody really talks about, and it's Daron Payne.
I got to give it to Daron Payne. I love his upside. We saw what he did in the playoffs. I like him more than I like Jonathan Allen. Jonathan Allen is a leader. Jonathan Allen is a dog. They both are beasts, but I just like where Daron Payne is going. You can look at him and see every single year he's getting better and better, and he's getting more confidence. He's more of like a chilled guy, but you see him becoming a leader. And he is going to become that vocal leader that the defense needs. I think that he's going to be our best interior pass rusher this year, our best interior play, even though we got Big Matt coming. So those are my
Matt. That boy Matt. I'm about to say, you forgetting about that boy Matt.
I know
Matt's the best one for real. Okay. Hey.
And that's the thing to think about. Our D-line will be better next year.
Our D-line.
Definitely interior-wise. When you look at the outside, though, outside of Sweat and Chase Young, you got James Smith-Williams, and then it just goes, you got nobody.
Tron Jackson, goes to Carolina. Keep an eye on Tron Jackson. Like, that's my guy.
Okay.
And one thing real quick that y'all said with Gibson, you have to really think. He only played 1 year as an actual running back. So this is his first full year with the position. And then he's learning from Lamar Miller. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really the only reason we're keeping Lamar Miller, for being honest, is to mold Gibson into an actual true running back who can still catch the ball. So, I mean, that he might be a dark horse pick, but you got to imagine, like, Gibson one more full year as an actual running back.
And he's talking about dropping weight.
That's what he did already. Like, come on,
it's gonna be crazy.
He's talking about dropping weight too, to get that speed back.
Yeah,
he looked like AP.
Yep.
Man, I would love to see him catch some passes. I know he can catch the ball, but last year, because of quarterback play, we weren't able to get the ball to Gibson. You're going to see a lot of passes going to Gibson this year. You're going to see Gibson run routes this year. You're going to see Gibson in the slot. You're going to see Gibson all over the place. You're going to see Gibson playing wide receiver and see Curtis Samuels in the backfield, and you're going to be like, what the heck is going on? You're going to see offense doing this. So it's going to be exciting. I can't wait. I think we have a good season this year. I think that we're going to be neck and neck with the Dallas Cowboys, Cowgirls. I can't wait to play them. The defense is improved. Everybody's saying Dak this, Dak that. But Dak got all this money, and now they can't pay nobody. So it's going to be an exciting season. The Eagles are going to be trash. I just can't wait for the season, man. I'm just jacked up, man.
Oh man,
guys,
that Dallas defense is trash.
Is that trash? Everything in the East is trash. East is trash.
So, man, once again,
Fitzpatrick may be the second best quarterback in the East. That tells you a lot.
He is easily tells you a lot. You got Hurts. Bless your heart, Josh. But Hurts, you got Hurts, man. Hey. He's a very nice running back. He's a very nice running back right now. He's evolving as a passer. But he's learning. Then you have Daniel Jones, Daniel Apple Pie, Turnover Jones. You know what I'm saying? Who can't complete the pass in his life? You know, so it's going to be interesting. You know, I say all this to say,
I think Hurts is pretty good, but I think the infrastructure of our team is much stronger.
Eagles have no idea how to build a team.
They don't know what they're doing. They have no weapons, and they have not to mention they're $30 million over the cap. Like, they can't even sign anybody.
And then and all their caps in Indianapolis right now.
Correct.
Yeah, their coach was talking like someone who just got yanked up off a high school team or something. I know after that press conference, some of my buddies who are Eagles fans were like, oh no, whatever.
Yeah, I felt stupider ever.
So I just think from a coaching and the way.
Did we lose them?
No, we lost them.
Yeah, we lost them. It's all good. But yeah, man, once again, guys. This is the Back Row Redskins Show. Man, I had a blast with my boys, with my brothers from another mother. I appreciate you guys coming on the show. Be sure to follow me at Manny Chakuba on Twitter. Be sure to follow the podcast page, Back Row Redskins. And be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We got some awesome guests coming. We got some content dropping. We got some merchandise. Support your boy. And we out. Peace.
Yeah, man.